ఏదో అంటే సొగలచుతుంటే నా జాత చేసారి అంకువార సొగలచ సంగువార పాడే సోత చే వస్తు కై బురి హౌతస సొగలచి బేణ కొసలరే కొడి సొట్టత ఒడి నాచ సైన బంది అరే కొసలచ తొడే తండత ఒడే అబోట్ కోరును తోండి అవి మతారి పశువున నత్సత పోషి ఆలోన్ కెన్నత కళోక సత తీయే పాలోన్ చెన మోచే వేత సోలోన్ మగిర్ బెస్టే పయానికరా సోలోన్ అరే నా సచ సలాద్ చింగమ గలాద్ గీతే చరా సోవాసి అరే గమా చెడు తోరి నత్సత్ పొడదు పోయితు నచ్చి అరే కొమోత్ కొసలి మడకో శేతి ఆల్తా నచ్చుయి నొకోయి జాలా రుయి చల్తా అట్లే కాయ బరే నచ్చు పొడు న్యూ తాలి అస అత మార్తా తోడు తోడు కొసలి దొంగా కొన కాల్తా ఫొంగా కొన ఆట కొడు తోడు
నమస్కార్ అని స్వాగత్ కర్తా హూ రిచి తుమ్కా ఐచే సుషేగా తన్ పార్ కొంకణీ రేడియో ప్రోగ్రామర్ ముజే సంగా తాజా సా స్టూడియో అంతా డెన్జిల్ పింటో ఎన్ అసోసియేట్ సేల్ పర్సన్ ఇన్ ది రియల్ ఎస్టేట్ బిజినెస్ విత్ బాఫుట్ అండ్ థామ్సన్ అట్ ది గ్లెన్ ఈడెన్ బ్రాంచ్ దోన్ హప్త్యా పైలే డెన్జిల్ పింటో ఆమ్చే ప్రోగ్రామర్ యోన్ తనే ఆమ్కా మయత్ దిలి కి ఫస్ట్ హోమ్ బయర్స్ అన్ కర్లి ప్రో ప్రిపరేషన్ కరి ప్రిపరేషన్ కరిజే పైలే గర్ కన్ గ్యోంక్ So things like, you know, getting your budget right, going to a banker and getting your loan arrangements organized, then talking to a good real estate and agent and sharing with him or her what your requirements are, zeroing down on certain areas that where you want to settle down for your first home purchase, and then being a bit open about the different types of houses that are there in the market, not be fixated about a particular type of house, and be open to all types of purchases, either through an auction or either through tendering or either through making an offer or either through negotiations as such. So we are very happy, Denzel, to have you here in our studios today.
Thank you, Richard. Good to be back.
And today, as I understand, you want to share your information of different types of titles that are associated with property purchases.
That's right, yes.
And I understand also that you would like to inform the listeners that it is very important to know what type of property that you are buying, because you are not buying anything which does not give you ownership.
Correct.
Okay. So in New Zealand, as I understand, Denzel, it is a wonderful country where all titles and all records relating to property are pretty well recorded as such. What is the system that makes that possible as such?
Well, every type of property comes with its own particular title. Now, the type of ownership of the property is recorded on what's called the Certificate of Title. Now, this certificate records who owns the land, who has an interest in the land as well. It's important to have your solicitor check the title and advise you of any issues. There are, broadly speaking, four, I would say, types of titles. They are known as you have the fee simple, you have a leasehold title, and you have a cross lease and unit title. And we'll go through each one of them individually.
So who maintains this particular system of recording as such? Is there an agency? Is it a Crown agency?
It is a Crown agency, and all titles are recorded with this Crown agency, the Land Information New Zealand.
Okay.
And your solicitor will go into that and check to see if the title to the property you're purchasing is what's called good title.
So, as I said, you know, in many other countries, this recording of land information is so incomplete or so half done, etc., or there is no proper titles as such, and it leads to a lot of disputes. So, in New Zealand, we are blessed in many ways that these titles are properly recorded. So let's start with the first one. You know, you say ownership is very important. So let's start with the first one, which is called as fee simple.
Yes, so fee simple title is very commonly referred to here as freehold. Now, this is the highest form of land ownership in New Zealand. What it means essentially is that you own not only the land, but the buildings on the land as well. You also have the right to make any additions or alterations on the land, of course, subject to council rules and regulations. Now, you're going to hear me say this phrase very often during the program, subject to council rules and regulations. Your land could also be subject to easements, and these easements could be in favor of power, water, and telecommunications companies, which gives them the right to access certain parts of your land for the purpose of installing or repairing services.
So you said that, you know, you have the freedom to do whatever you want on your land as such.
Legally, yes.
Legally, yes, as such. So can you just highlight a few things which you can do and you cannot do, which could lead to sort of either getting into a tiff with the council or a tiff with your neighbors?
Well, I mentioned briefly additions and alterations, right? Now, yes, you do have the right to do that. However, certain types of additions and alterations are subject, of course, to council regulations. For example, if you wish to add on an extra bedroom or you want to build a second floor, these are subject to certain rules and regulations like height to boundary restrictions and so on and so forth. So you would first have to approach council, and the council would decide after looking at your plans whether those fit within the special character, for example, of some suburbs. And if everything was okay, then yep, there's no further impediment to your going ahead with the building. As far as everything else is concerned, living on the property, you're free to live on the property pretty much as you wish. You may, of course, be subject to noise regulations and so on and so forth. So if you wanted to, for example, do a bit of DIY stuff, you'd have to abide by certain times of the day which you could do these things. And, you know, just general common sense stuff to look out for.
You know, I remember some time ago in the Mount Roskill area, there was this gentleman who painted the swastika on the top of his roof because he was a firm believer of Hinduism. And he said that the swastika is a symbol of praise and worship to his God. And it raised a lot of noise in that particular area. So I think this is one of the aspects that though you have a right to do whatever you want on your property, you need to be sensitive not only relating to noise or enjoyment of it, but sensitive to other people's beliefs and understandings as such.
Yes, a little bit of common sense goes a long way.
Yes, yes, yes. So how is it described in the property document, the title document? Is it mentioned as fee simple?
Yes.
There are many properties that are said as fee simple, but there could be something that is attached to it also.
Yes, so if you look at the title, the actual physical title to your property, right at the very top, in the case of a fee simple property, it'll be mentioned there as freehold, fee simple. In the case of a cross-lease property, you're more than likely to see words like a composite computer register. And in the case of unit titles, you'll see a unit title.
Oh, okay.
It's there in simple English, and it's very, very easy to make out what
and the,
it is.
And the easement rights of various authorities are mentioned in that?
Yes, so you'll have an identifier as well. You'll have the actual description of the property, mm-hmm. In terms of what is the area of the property, what's the lot number, and so on. And the last would be the interests in the property, where easements and other kinds of restrictions are mentioned as well.
So does it mention the charge that has been created on the property by the banks?
It does.
It does.
Yes.
So it says who is the mortgage.
Who's the mortgagee, yes.
And the mortgagee, yes.
That's correct.
Also, that's good. So that means it gives you a quick synopsis of what is there on the property.
Yes, it does give you a quick snapshot. Okay. However, as we keep saying, get your solicitor to check if everything mm-hmm. is actually as it appears on the title.
Okay, so what does he go into like?
Oh, I wouldn't really know exactly what the solicitor does. I don't get paid quite as much as solicitors do.
Okay.
So we'll leave that to the experts. But basically, he'll go into checking that everything that is printed on the title is actually translates into good title.
Okay, just to remind all listeners is that Denzel Pinto is an associate salesperson with the Barfoot & Thompson. He's not a legal expert.
Correct.
He's only trying to give you insights into the various documents that you need to look at to know what type of ownership you get when you buy a property as such. For more details, you may have to consult your solicitors. On that note, Denzel, let's take a break and listen to some music.
Munșa poro turvac turvalor baric niar kelia un melolo munis chivo zaina kitle duru mulia turu munis piso zata turvac poilia ya turvac lagon kitlea locac jive si mata cost corun zollele duru Sorio corun vota Iscola chai nosen burgiak tore kidnapota Uia durua ce acek lagon mare gar caus gota Puja kutta go durwa chir boslya ti bail palya aplya govak sodun veta duru naslya chedu white pasun zalyar kazar zata duru dislya kon pude soro na gorib te aslya zaite duru diuche potat bori servis melo കോച്ചാ ദൂടുക്കൊയിച്ച പൊട്ട ഇന്ത്യൻ ടീമിക്ക് കേണോ ദൂടു ഡീലറി സ്കോളാനി അഡ്മിഷൻ മേവതാ ശിക്കോ അതുവോഗാദാ ദൂടു ഡീലർ കോട്ടാൻ കേസ് പാവതാ ജിക്കോ ഡുഡു എക്ടാവൻ കിരെ സദാത് മാറൂൻ ഫോ മിനിസ്റ്റർ പാസൂൻ ലോകാക ഡുഡു ദിതാത് ജായ മൂഡ് താങ്കാവു സർപഞ്ചാക ഡുഡു ദിലാര തുജെ ദുരിഗ് സാതാ ഗോ ഡുഡു ദിലാര തുജി രോക്ഡിസ് മേവതാ പാസ്പോർട്ട് യാ സോസാരാന ജി എനെ ജോ തുജെ തായ ഡുഡു നാ ദോ ഉടുവാനി കുശാല ജിയേതാത് മോസമാത്താത് ജീവിത് ബോത് വൈട് കോഡ്യോ ആധാരുൺ ഗിരെ സാതാത് മുണ്ടാ പുൺകുവോ ജീവിതാ ദുടു സോഗ്ലേസ് നോയ് ഇഷ്ടായെ മോതിന്തോ
Today I'm going to share with you on how to make eggless fugazi. Fugazi is a traditional East Indian dish made during functions, feasts, weddings and on special occasions. Fugazi are great with tea and also can be enjoyed with your sorpatel, your vindaloo or your mutton or chicken curry. The ingredients that you would need to make the fugazi are 1 kg of plain flour, 1 cup warm milk, 2 tablespoons of ghee, 1 tablespoon sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt or as per taste, 1 tablespoon of yeast, mix with 1/2 cup of lukewarm water and set aside, and oil for deep frying. Dissolve the sugar and the salt in about 3 cups of warm water and set aside. Mix the flour, ghee, milk and the yeast together. Add the water to which the salt and the sugar has been added and knead well. The batter should be thick and light enough. Once the batter has doubled in size, it's now ready to make fugazi. Pour oil in a deep frying pan, and when the oil is hot and almost to a boiling stage, start making the fugazi. Fry the fugazi until they are light brown and then take out with a perforated spoon.
തുമി ആയിക്കത്താ സുഷേഖ ദൻപാർ 104.6 പ്ലാനറ്റ് എഫ് എം അവയർ ദോസ് ഫുഗേസ് ആർ ഇൻ ഡീഡ് വെരി വെരി ഗുഡ് ആൻഡ് സ്മിത ഐ വുഡ് സേ ഇസ് എ മാസ്റ്റർ ഇൻ മേക്കിംഗ് ദോസ് ഫുഗേസ് താങ്ക് യു വെരി മച്ച് സ്മിത ഫോർ ഷെയറിംഗ് ദറ്റ് റെസിപ്പി വിത്ത് ആർ ലിസ്ണേഴ്സ് ആസ് സച്ച് വി ഹാവ് ഇൻ ആർ സ്റ്റുഡിയോസ് ഹിയർ ടുഡേ ഡെൻസൽ പിന്റോ ആൻഡ് വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ടൈറ്റിൽസ് ഓഫ് പ്രോപ്പർട്ടീസ് ദാറ്റ് യു വോണ്ട് ടു പർച്ചേസ് Now, Denzel, you spoke to us before the song break about fee simple or what is also called as freehold title.
Yes.
Let's move to the next one as such. Leasehold titles.
Yes, so leasehold title is, if you will, at the other end of the scale. Under this form of title, you do not own the land.
Oh, okay.
That's a very important difference.
Okay.
You only lease the land for a fixed period of time. You could own or lease the building,
yeah,
and you pay ground rent to the landowner. Now, it's important to be aware of the period of the lease and also whether it's for a limited term mm-hmm. or it's perpetually renewable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, this rent can be reviewed periodically and the rent is linked to the value of the land.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
The value of the land can increase dramatically. So it's important to get your solicitor involved at an early stage.
Mm-hmm.
You may find that leasehold properties are priced lower than freehold, especially in more expensive suburbs. And some people would regard that as a good alternative to renting. However, be aware that increasing rent and a shortening lease term can have a serious impact on your ability to sell your leasehold interest at a later date.
Okay, so there are two parts to a leasehold property as such. One is the land component of it.
Yes.
And the other is the buildings and improvements that are standing on it.
Correct.
So when you buy a leasehold property, you get both of them, or are there features where you only get the land and then you start putting a building and improvements on it? What's the availability in the market at the moment?
Well, you don't get any kind of ownership of the land.
Okay, so land is leasehold.
It's leasehold, okay? What you are buying essentially is the building or the residence that's located on the land.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you pay, in addition to your rates and everything else, mm-hmm. you also pay what's called a ground rent, and that is paid to the landowner, the person who owns the land on which your property sits.
So can you give us a few examples where in the city of Auckland, which areas are predominantly leasehold properties?
Well, I don't know if they're predominantly leasehold, but the waterfront area is probably one.
Okay.
Some parts of Ponsonby and St. John's, you will find leasehold properties. Also around Cornwall Park is another area.
And who are the owners of these leases? Is it the Crown or is it some Maori trust?
You could have trusts, Maori trusts. They could be Maori land. It could be the Crown. There could be all sorts of landowners.
Mm-hmm. So basically what you're saying is that when you're buying leasehold property, you're actually only buying the buildings and improvements, whereas you're getting this particular land underneath it on a lease.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Yep. Suppose you only get the land and you put in your own property over it. What happens to it if it is not a movable, in the sense it's fixed to the ground? What happens to it?
Well, that would be determined when you take the lease of the land itself,
mm-hmm.
in the agreement that you would draw between yourself and the landowner. What happens to the buildings when the lease runs out would have to be specified.
Mm-hmm. So that is why people move houses from different places and plonk it on a piece of land, and when they sell it off, they move out with it, or when the lease expires, they move out with it. Is that a good way of looking at it?
Could be one of the ways, could be one of the reasons why you see houses being moved.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason is quite simply because with the unitary plan, values of sections have now gone up so much that it in some cases makes better sense to remove the old house and build
new
properties.
Okay. So what is the normal term of a leasehold land as such? What is the average that you have come across in your 5 years of selling property?
Again, there is no common thread in terms of periods of lease.
Mm-hmm.
They could be 50 years, 60 years, 20 years, or even higher.
So I see this 999 years. So what is that referring to?
Okay, that refers to another type of title, which is called the cross-lease title, right? Now, cross-lease title is perhaps where I get the most questions regarding, and there's a fair amount of misunderstanding as well regarding cross-leases. And I'm going to try to resolve some of those misunderstandings today.
Some of them as.
Indeed.
Okay.
Now,
so first, could you just define what is a cross lease?
Yeah. So a cross lease is a title which can either be fee simple or leasehold. Okay. Under cross lease fee simple, a share of the land and the dwelling are owned by the same entity.
Oh, okay.
The same person. Whereas under leasehold, a separate entity owns the land and you lease the right to occupy the land. Today we'll look more at the cross-lease fee simple, as that's the far more common type of title which comes up. Now, this is where a number of people share in the undivided ownership of a piece of land. Now, the homes that they build on the land are leased from other landowners. This is where you have the lease that comes up of 999 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, each of the owners is known as a tenant in common.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if there is a cross lease involving 4 units, you will own an undivided quarter share of the total land area.
Okay.
And a long-term lease of 999 years from all the other owners for your unit. Now, the confusion arises as to what is this leasehold part of it. You actually do own the property. So you can sell your property, you can rent it out at any time.
So I think just wait for here for a moment. So what you're basically saying is that this is a cross lease of a fee simple title.
Correct.
Okay. So this means it is a freehold land, it is just like any freehold land.
Yes.
But it has got two people or more than one person sitting on the property and they have a share in common as such.
That's right.
Okay.
And so they each lease a share from the other.
Okay.
Right. So along with the lease and the certificate of title, you get another document which is called the Memorandum of Lease.
Okay.
Now that is a very, very important document because that details all the terms and covenants that govern the lease.
Okay.
Now, broadly speaking, any alterations that involve changing the footprint or the outline of your particular unit require the approval of the other leaseholders. Okay. In addition to council approval where necessary.
Okay. Right? So can we just elucidate or give an example about what you're saying?
Yeah. So let's say, for example, you wanted to add on a deck onto the property, right? Now, if the deck were to be enclosed, mm-hmm. okay, that now changes the footprint of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to do that, you will need to contact each of the other leaseholders mm-hmm. and get their permission.
But if it is not enclosed, then it is fine.
It is fine. However, any alterations, like we said, okay, still would require the others to give their approval.
Okay. So it's so the key, if I may understand, the key point is the footprint of your unit should not increase or decrease from what is agreed upon by with other lease owners.
Yes, you have to get their approval. And secondly, if such alterations are carried out, the flat's plan needs to be altered.
Oh, okay.
Now, that is not a cheap exercise.
Okay.
It involves submitting your plans to council, getting their approval, and so on and so forth.
Okay. So, which means if you're carrying out any changes in your kitchen, designing a new kitchen, putting a new bathroom, that doesn't really sort of interfere with your titles.
That doesn't change the footprint.
Okay.
And therefore, you do not need the approval of the other leaseholders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Other than that, a cross lease is pretty much similar.
As good as a fee simple
property.
Title.
Okay. That's right.
Okay. And if you have good neighbors, there's no problem.
Yes. People generally, when you're living next door to each other, tend to be quite commonsensical about, what you want to do with your property. And provided your plans are not outlandish, there shouldn't really be a problem about getting people's approval. Because it could be that sometime in future, your neighbor might want to do something and might have to come to you for permission as well.
Absolutely. So, in fact, my first property, Denzel, was a cross lease.
Right.
And when I told to some of the old acquaintances who had been in this country for a long time, said, "What have you done?" So I didn't have any problems because my other unit holder was actually the previous owner of that property and his children had used that property as they grew up.
Right.
So he was quite passionate about it and wanted to ensure that we kept it in the same form and manner that he had tended to it. So I was quite happy with it and I got a fairly reasonable price when I sold it.
Yes.
So what is the other part of it when you talk about a cross lease in the context of a leasehold title?
Yes, so the lease that you sign with your other leaseholders, now that is valid for 999 years. When cross lease titles were introduced in around about the 1970s, that figure was regarded as being almost in perpetuity. The question then arises, what happens after the 999 years? As of today, what will happen after 999 years is the title will revert to the crown. Okay. However, it would definitely be in the interests of the government to look into this aspect, especially given the situation now where housing is becoming such a problem in the bigger cities and in outlying towns as well, and find some way of getting around this 999 years mm-hmm. and converting these perhaps to fee simple titles.
So now when we go to, if the land underneath the property is, which is a cross lease, but it is a leasehold land, so will it be still 999 or will it be some different?
No, in this case, the term of the lease will be the lease that you have signed with the owner of the land. Mm-hmm. And that could be, like I said earlier, 70, 90, 150 or 20 years.
So is that what you were referring to, that when you are buying a property which is now getting more closer to the termination of the underlying lease, that you will have difficulty in getting a price that
correct.
You want?
Correct. So, for example, if you had an original lease under leasehold of, say, 90 years, and that was 70 years ago, you basically have another 20 years of right to occupy the property. Mm-hmm. And if you intend to live in the property for 10 years, mm-hmm. when it's time for you to sell it, you're going to have a very, very small pool of buyers who are going to be prepared to buy a property which they can use only for the next 10.
Oh, yes. So this is a very critical issue that people need to understand when they're buying cross-lease properties.
Yes. But look,
whether it is on fee simple,
yes,
or whether it is on leasehold titles as
yes,
such.
But I urge people, I mean, there's no need to get worried about these kind of things. As long as you know what a fee simple title is, what a cross-lease title is, broadly speaking, and what unit titles are, which we'll get into in a moment. The rest of it, get advice from your solicitor.
On that note, let's listen to some music.
One day, cricket, Montana, India, Kitchak, Chikone. king elos sakat na loose building kartana batting ya bowling uras tanka match fixing match angler aati jolly making elos sakat na loose building
Sameer, you recently bought your first home, right?
Yes, I did.
How difficult was it?
Difficult? Why would it be difficult?
Didn't you say you only had 10% deposit for your house?
10% is enough if Mortgage Masters is helping you with home loan.
Mortgage Masters can also help you with refinance or with any rental and commercial property related question. Contact Nathan Saminathan now, a certified financial planner and authorized financial advisor with over 30 years of experience in New Zealand. Call now on 0800-630-7171. Address 619 Dominion Road, Mount Eden, or visit mortgagemasters.co.nz.
Cazar sau casa, borotolo, a quarto liato, cu taulo, tu clento ușa, sarcoți colo, borzaui mure și rocrozalo. Che gena kai gore poina rangarui zaina kuri kaina wokol kuitizau noria torraigau santa tachenau pantu toau barik samote utortita lam no komotu me manun geta au yek domnito Sotas nata, sumana kek pau, cum sarzata. Porai tatali, amozot mali. Zali, borsa cali, tu paci in forna, sago che torna, nidmaca porna, e cloz corna, ceruani boci, e iacobor, socliani cali, che rani bor, cituni e sogle, zata zobor, nu si barmocia. Moneza bere, meu tate core, distator bore, tot tam vere. Na cariscar, sota o suscar, un mozo rucar, cura tucar. Cazar sau casa, corozolo, a
quarto lianto, o tavolo, tu clento uscia, sarcozzolo, corzavo i murci, proprozzalo.
Tumi ai kata Sushika Dunbar Konkani radio program 104.6 Planet FM Aware. Mujhe sangata azasa studio in the Denzel Pinto, associate salesperson of Barfoot and Thompson at the Glendine branch. Okay, before we go on to ask Denzel about the unit titles or strata titles, so just let me remind all those who are very passionate about retreats that there is a retreat on Saturday, 9th March, from 1:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception, Avondale Church. This is preached by Father Ron of the DRC Center, Sydney. Then again on Sunday, 10th March, between 1:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. at St. John Vianney Catholic Church, Hillsborough. So all those who would like to make a retreat during this Lenten time, good to go at these two locations on Saturday and Sunday. So coming back, Denzel, on the different type of property titles, we talked about fee simple, we talked about leasehold titles, we talked about cross lease titles, and the fourth normal type of title is the unit titles. Tell us something about it.
Yeah, so to put it very simply, a unit title is your ownership record of the unit that you own in the property. For example, apartment 6 in building 1.
Okay.
Unit titles are becoming more common now because the new zoning laws that have come in under the Auckland Unitary Plan allow for higher density housing. The unit title is sometimes also called the strata title.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, a unit title comprises of three components. So you have your principal unit, which is the apartment or the house. Any accompanying accessory units, for example, a car park or a storage space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have an interest in the common property. As an owner, you automatically become part of what's called the body corporate,
mm-hmm.
which is the body that governs the property.
Mm-hmm.
There is, again, some misunderstanding sometimes about the body corporate.
Mm-hmm.
The body corporate is the body of people who own units. There is also a body corporate committee, which is drawn from the owners of the various units.
Mm-hmm.
And often there is a body corporate manager, who is generally appointed from outside, mm-hmm. and who's paid, and sometimes a building manager as well.
Mm-hmm.
The body corporate has levies, which is used for maintenance, insurance, and other utility costs.
Mm-hmm.
The contents insurance of your unit are your own responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, the body corporate will have certain rules that govern the use of the property.
Okay. So, Denzel, just to get a bit of clarity on this, I'm not such a great guy in legal matters. So, just to get a bit of clarity. So, in fee simple, you own the building and improvements and you own the land underneath it.
Correct.
Okay. In cross lease, as what we looked at, you own the building improvements. And if it is a fee simple title, you hold the property that is underneath it.
That's right.
That is your share of the property that is underneath. Now, in the case of unit titles, who owns the property? Is it the body corporate or is it a share is given to you in your unit titles? Okay.
So you don't own a share of the land. The body corporate holds that.
Okay.
You own what is mentioned on your title, which is the ownership of the unit.
Okay.
And any car parks and so on.
Okay. So, therefore, if I'm buying into an apartment, I'm just buying into that apartment block.
Correct.
Any accessories that are attached, either a garage or a storage place.
Correct.
And some common areas like the roads and the parks or the gardens that are there, some share in it. I don't have an ownership in the land.
That's right.
Oh, that's excellent. That's it. So what are the different things that you should look out for in this title purchase? And what are the responsibilities that the seller has when he or she sells?
Right, so before any sale takes place, the vendor, the seller, is required by law to provide buyers with what's called a pre-contract disclosure statement. Mm-hmm. Now, this includes details about the unit, the body corporate rules, levies, the bank balances, whether the property has ever been the subject of a weather tightness, home claim, and so on. Mm-hmm. This is a fairly detailed report, and this must be examined closely. So that's the pre-contract disclosure. After the contract has been agreed and signed, the buyer, through the solicitor, may request any additional disclosure documents within 5 working days of signing the contract. And the cost for that must be borne by the buyer, these additional documents. The pre-contract disclosure documents, the buyer does not bear any of those costs. And finally, we have the pre-settlement disclosure, which again is provided by the seller, and that has to be provided no later than 5 working days prior to the settlement date. Now, this contains further information regarding levies raised by the body corporate, and especially whether there are any unpaid levies by the unit owner, that's the unit you are purchasing, and any unpaid costs relating to repairs of building and so on and so forth. And this information is obviously important to ensure that you as the buyer are not taking on any outstanding debts by the seller, and also to highlight the amounts payable by the buyer from the settlement date onwards.
So, with the markets being what they are in a city like Auckland, property markets being what they are in a city like Auckland, and jobs not being in great numbers in the provincial areas as such, could you give a broad sort of idea as to what are the costs in a body corporate and how do they compare with an independent house as such?
Well, again, that's a difficult question, Richard. The costs...
the running costs, what I'm saying, you know, when I buy an independent house, I have insurance, I have rates, I have repairs, maintenance, etc., which is my responsibility. There's nobody whom I can call and say, can you come and fix this as such? In a body corporate, because it belongs to a huge body of unit holders, so you have a body corp fee that you have to pay as such, and you have to also pay for your contents, but you don't have to pay for insurance, and you don't have to pay for rates. So how does that all stack up?
Well, all the costs that you would have with your own fee simple property would be the cost that you'd also have in a body corporate situation. The difference here is that because there's somebody else who's looking after all of these on behalf of the, you know, sometimes 50 or 60 body corporate members, there is a fee to be paid to that person to, to, you know, for his time and efforts. So if you looked at the actual figures for a standalone versus an equivalent unit, definitely the body corporate is going to be a little more than that.
Okay.
However, the hassle of your doing all of these is taken over by somebody else.
But at least it gives an option which was not there in the past, which
That's
I would
right.
say, to the first home buyers, that this is an option that is available to you. And with the lifestyle that is evolving in bigger metros as such.
That's right. And it's not just first-home buyers, Richard. It could be anybody looking for a property, a unit title property. You know, it is an option to consider.
So would you think that this would be the more or less the future in which Auckland would go in the next, say, 10, 15 years?
Well, it's becoming more and more common.
Common as such.
Because it allows for higher density living. And yes, that's the trend we are seeing, especially in city centers and town centers.
So, Denzel, before we sign off, let me tell my listeners that if you would like to get in touch with Denzel and at Barfoot and Thompson Glen Dean branch, if you'd like to get in touch with him, his contact numbers are 021 107 9590, and he's very willing and happy to share more information about properties that are there in the market, about the different type of titles that are there under which these properties are sold. Denzel, I also understand that you are an excellent cook. You cook pretty well, and your family vouches and stands by your cooking as such. Okay? And I had the opportunity once of having a meal at your place. You prepared a nice pizza. Would you like to share a bit of that recipe that you prepared? Have I put you in a spot?
Absolutely. Yeah, a hot spot. Well, look, you know, perhaps I can prepare a recipe at some other point of time.
Okay.
And we can share that with your listeners.
Okay, wonderful. A pizza. So next time when you come and you'll be talking about, you'll be coming next time, we'll be talking about what topic?
We will now talk about house sellers. What are the things to look out for when you're selling a house, how to prepare your house for a sale.
Okay.
And, how to get, obviously, the best price possible.
So, indeed, it's a very nice time with the property market cooling off, a lot of investors wanting to decide to sell their properties off to, so as to tidy up their portfolio, prepare for a downturn. I think it's a good opportunity, Denzel, for you to come and give a bit of tips as to how to prepare your property to sell.
I look forward to that.
Okay, Richard. And but don't forget that next time when you come, you have to come with a recipe,
the recipe as well,
for preparing pizzas.
Certainly.
Okay.
I'll do
that. On
that
note, I sign off. Have a good weekend and a wonderful week ahead. This is Team Sushigat Tanpar.
agono, ye palagira uvengono. Agotun kisyat maka mogan polay nai.
Doyani sangle tute sumzuk sukuk nai.
Tumtuja kalzan kite asa kalay nai.
Tumki kya kam geri hun seiri polay nai.
Agotun kisyat maka mogan polay nai.
Doyani sangle tute sumzuk sukuk nai.
Tumtuja kalzan kite asa kalay nai. Full full atu full, full full atu full, full full atu full full a full on mujer full.
Silver.